First, a new study released by researchers at MIT paints a bleak picture of how truth tends to lose ground to fake news and misleading information on social media. The researchers looked at nearly 126,000 stories shared over the last decade by more than 3 million English-speaking users on Twitter. Over the course of the study, they found that false information was shared widely and quickly as compared to correct information. Our next guest is here to talk about the impact that fake news can have on American political discussions. Mike Wagner is an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, and he's an affiliate of the Elections Research Center. He blogs at prowag.me. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
It's good to be here.
Well, what do you make of this study and what we're learning from it?
Well, it's very thorough. It looked at tweets over a decade-long period and was very carefully done. And so I think we need to take the results really seriously. It shows, you know, the old saying that a lie gets halfway around the world while the truth is putting its pants on is true. It's much more likely that information that is not true spreads more quickly and to more people than true information does, which should give us pause in a democratic republic like ours.
And this looked at what we might call fake news, but other forms of rumors and misleading information.
Right.
I mean, do we want to lock down the fake news term, first of all, as we're talking about it today? What do we mean when we say that?
Well, I think by fake news, we mean, at least I mean, things that are reported by a source that says they're a news source that is where that information is not true. And, you know, ideally what we would like to know is that they knew it was not true and reported it anyway. That's, you know, the purest kind of fake news. But there are lots of different definitions. The president's definition is things I don't agree with, which is not a very good definition. But, you know, news that is not accurate, does not hold up to scrutiny, has been debunked, fact-checked, that those sorts of things all would fall under the rubric, I think.
This MIT study, people are saying, is in many ways the biggest study of the spread of misinformation. Is there a growing interest in trying to come to grips with how information, bad information, spreads on social media?
That is a part of a sea change in the study of political communication. I mean, even here at UW-Madison, our social media and democracy team in our department is looking at that with the tweets we've been harvesting every day for 6 or 7 years, finding these messages spreading in the same way. In one study led by Josephine Lukido, a graduate student in our department, and Chris Wells, a professor, found that news organizations will actually use tweets that were produced by bots in their stories as examples of American public opinion, when in fact they're Russian bots, you know, pretending to say things to advance some kind of line of argument in a story. And almost every major American news outlet does it, not by design, but by being fooled by these tweets.
Right. There's that vox pop idea, as we call it, vox populi. What are people saying about this?
Right.
An easy way for a media person is, well, let's find what people are saying on Twitter. But often the people aren't people.
Right. You know, in any intro to journalism class, professors like me have students go out and do a person on the street story. You know, go interview 10 people and find out what they think about this issue. And now it's easy to do that on social media. And lots of news organizations will just show screenshots of tweets to say, here's what people are saying. You know, like the Today Show does this every morning. They take some question and they show tweets. Well, what Josephine Lukido and Chris Wells found was that real news organizations are posting tweets that were created by Russian bots and using them as examples of American public opinion. And so it's easy to fool people on Twitter into thinking that they're American citizens expressing their views when they're not.
So if in some cases even the media pros are getting fooled by a fake, maybe it's not fake news exactly, but opinions from fake people, what's the average person supposed to do as they go through their Twitter feed or Facebook feed or whatever?
It's extraordinarily difficult. But what I would say are the two things to look for, which also happen to be the two biggest predictors of sharing things that aren't true on social media, are, is there a lot of emotional language in that tweet or in that Facebook post? If so, it's probably more likely to get shared, but it also might be more likely not to be real. And the second is, how novel is it? We tend to share things that are novel. When we share things that are novel, it's the case that if there's only one organization saying that, we should be skeptical as to whether or not that's actually true. And so novelty and emotionality are things we should say, oh, should I share this? Maybe it's not true. Maybe I should see if there's another source that makes this same claim.
Talking to Mike Wagner from UW-Madison, looking at the spread of false information online on social media. Big new study from MIT finding that fake news and false information can spread very quickly as compared to the real stuff. And Mike, I've been in that situation myself. This story, if this were true, every media source in the world would be talking about it, or at least half of them. And then you go and you can only find other news sources you've never heard of until that moment.
Right. If every source you find is a place you haven't heard of, you should be extremely skeptical that that statement is true or that story is true. Maybe 1 out of 100 might end up being true, but you'll save yourself a lot of grief and a lot of embarrassment if you don't share that story until you find it from a source you trust.
Did this MIT study try to get into the impact of the spread of this false information?
It's really difficult to understand the impact, right? So on the one hand, false information is more likely to get shared. It gets shared very quickly. When true information is shared, it is not shared as quickly or as far. Even the retweet chains, right? So false news gets retweeted more than real news gets retweeted because real news isn't as novel or as emotional typically. And so the impact of that is really challenging. On the one hand, we know from fact-checking research that a lot of people, when they see the corrective story, to say, oh, this thing really isn't true, if the correction makes you reconsider a prior belief, it's really hard to actually accept the truth. And so we tend to fall back on our prior beliefs, even if we're told in a fact check that that's not true. So the impact of this stuff can be huge. There are times when fact checks are effective and can change our attitudes, but it's very difficult to do, and it's very difficult to get the facts to spread in a way that are interpreted in a kind of a uniform way across the public.
Right. Let's just say a fake news story A is making the rounds and some fact checker comes across it and fact checks.
Well, actually, A is false. Right.
Yeah. But if the same group of people aren't retweeting or forwarding that fact check, so what?
Right. If they're not sharing that information, that's a problem. And then if the people who believed it when it was wrong the first time don't update their beliefs to what's true, then there's a deleterious effect of the sharing of this false information. And so some of the questions that scholars like me now need to be asking ourselves is, when this news spreads, is it persuading people that that information is true or not? Or is it just fun to share? Or do we share stuff that confirms what we already believe? And if we already believe it, then it's not the fake news that's the problem. It's the beliefs that we hold that might be the problem. And so the scale of this problem is really hard to wrap our hands around, I think.
And a reaction I've seen sometimes when I've seen false information spreading online is, why isn't media source X reporting on this? Well, they're not, because it's not actually a thing. But actually, for people who already have a credibility problem with a particular media source, the false information actually reinforces that.
It really does. And it puts the news media, who are doing legitimate work, in a really tough position, because the fact-checking research suggests if you want to persuade people of the truth, don't repeat the falsehood in the process of telling the truth. Don't say false claim A is false. Just say the truth instead. But if journalists don't do it in that way, then you, as you point out, these naysayers will say, well, why aren't they reporting on this story that I'm seeing all over my feed from people I trust?
How have you seen this develop since the beginning of social media? Is this kind of an exponential growth in bad information, or has it been there since the start?
People have always spread false stories.
Before the internet.
The internet did not invent the spreading of rumors. But the exponential nature with which it grows, the networks that the false information can get into, and the staying power of that false information, I think, is fundamentally different than it was when I was growing up.
Are people doing network mapping, finding out source A says this, then it spreads to B, and B, well, 100 people re-forward that or whatever? Are we getting maps of how these things spread?
We are, and, you know, we can map all kinds of information, whether it's the spread of fake news or just the spread of political news, the spread of sports information. You know, the work we're doing at Wisconsin, it kind of creates some of these maps, and we can tell, so there's some node where these tweets begin, and then their follower networks retweet, and then their follower networks retweet, and we can kind of map out how that works geographically, how that matters politically. People tend to retweet in their own kind of political networks when it's news about politics. They tend not to retweet stuff from the other side, for example. And so we can map with some precision how this stuff works.
But it's got to be a moving target, because if I'm someone who is motivated, if I'm trying to spread particular information, true or false, I'm going to be trying to figure out the same things and then maximize those networks to spread it even faster.
Right. And the goals of the researchers to make these maps might be different, and probably are different, than the goals of the people spreading the fake information. We can't know as scholars which networks they're trying to infiltrate. We can guess based on probabilities of, well, if you wanted to win an election, you might try to target these voters with fake information about that candidate. But it's really hard to know what the motives are, other than just spreading chaos and making it more difficult to understand what's true. And if that's the goal, in some ways it's succeeding. It's increasingly difficult for a regular person living their life to say, I just heard this new thing, now how do I decide and how do I know whether to judge whether this is true?
We're talking to Mike Wagner. He's an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When you are on social media, have you run into stories maybe shared by a friend or family member that you knew to be false or discovered later was not true? Do you source check? Do you go back and try to figure out if things are true when they pop up on whichever social media feed you're looking at? Have you ever shared a story and then found out it, well, wasn't true after all? Did you try to do damage control there? And what impact does all this false information and fake news have on American culture and politics? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation with Mike Wagner about a new study looking at the spread of fake news and false information on social media. Mike's an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the spread of misleading information, false rumors, fake news on social media? Do you run into it a lot on your own social media feeds? Has it started arguments with your friends, family, acquaintances, or former friends and acquaintances? Call in at 800-642-1234. And do you think social media platforms have a responsibility to try to slow the spread of misleading information? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to our callers now. Camille is with us in New Berlin. Camille, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question. I'll take my answer off the air. I was wondering, as you studied these fake news postings, whether or not there seemed to be a trend, or were they divided completely, more or less equally down the middle? Did these postings lean to the left or lean to the right, more so in the fake news category?
Camille, thanks for the call. I've definitely seen both, Mike, but is there any sort of quantitative study that says, hey, it's more one side or the other?
Yeah, the MIT study that we're talking about, I don't know that it weighs in directly on this. There's other research that suggests there are asymmetries in the spreading of false information from the left and the right. And the question is whether it's that the right spreads things that aren't true more, or it's that the group that is out of power spreads things that aren't true more. And so there's evidence in terms of belief of conspiracy theories that conservatives are more likely to believe in some conspiracy theories about President Obama. And after President Trump was elected, liberals became more likely to endorse some conspiracy theories. And so some of this is a human enterprise, but some of this is a result of asymmetries in information. And Russia and the work that people producing bots for Russia on Twitter and Facebook did sow fake news across the ideological spectrum, but waited to fake news that would serve conservative candidates. Whether that kind of thing would continue, I think, is an open question, and whether their goal to kind of foment a more chaotic way with which we come to understand what the truth is as a public is still something that remains to be seen.
Camille, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Rebecca with us in West Allis. Rebecca, hi.
Hi. I had a comment. I had a couple of cousins and their whole group of friends were spreading some news story on a website called where they had vaccines causing autism is now listed on the label, and the FDA is actually coming out and is admitting it. And of course, I'm trying to like fact check. I'm like, no, no, it's not. Here's Snopes. Here's a couple of other articles saying like, no, you're wrong. And, you know, I got blamed as, you know, being the one trying to cause problems. And there's a little schism going on. And it's like, no, well, my daughter's fully vaccinated. She's fine. It doesn't cause autism. And, you know, they're like, oh, no, you're a lucky one.
Rebecca, thanks for that call. So, yeah, there is the risk if you try to correct false information that, well, you're one of them.
That story is a really common story that I find is in kind of studying the information environment, is when people engage with their friends and family, they start, you know, family fights that go beyond the political disagreement to get into the what actually happens in people's social lives. And we've seen that happen in Wisconsin in a lot of different ways over the last decade, of where the politics has become the personal. And correcting that information, it is a bold choice to do, because you're putting yourself out there and you're asserting something is true. In that case, you know, the caller is in the right. You know, vaccines have not been shown to cause autism, and the one study that suggested there might be a link was debunked, and the person who authored it lost their medical license. And so it's certainly the case that it's really hard to make these corrections, because people become deeply committed to their beliefs. And if they want to believe something to be true about the president or a political enemy or a health behavior, it's really hard to help people overcome those misinformation, those false beliefs.
Rebecca, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234, talking about the spread of false information and fake news and rumors on social media. Mike Wagner is with us from UW-Madison. And Mike, I'll ask you a question that I throw out to the listeners there. Does a social media company, a provider, a Twitter, a Facebook, whatever, have a responsibility to police this, to try to change things?
I think it's worth the work for a company like Facebook or Twitter to think about how information gets shared on their site. And Facebook has been thinking a lot about this and has announced some changes, kind of trying to move toward more interactive experiences rather than the sharing kind of thing that caused a lot of fomented sharing of things that weren't true, say during the 2016 election. And so, they're making efforts. They're not always making efforts that coincide with what research would suggest would help the most, but they are making efforts to deal with these kinds of problems. But it's also a very thorny issue. It's a country of free speech, and some things that aren't true or that we don't think are true now, we may learn later are true. And so it's very difficult to know what those things are and what's the balance of if one out of every 100 things ends up being true, even though it's not likely to be true, is that worth it to have that imbalance? Those are really big questions that these kinds of companies have to grapple with.
Well, and I always come back to the metaphor of what a social media platform is. Is it like a newspaper where it has responsibility to confirm things that are stated on it? Or is it the phone company? It doesn't care what we say to each other on the phone.
Right. I mean, it's certainly not a newspaper, and it's certainly not the phone. It's somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. But Facebook doesn't pay me to share bits of information that I want to share on my Facebook page. And so I'm not an employee of them. And so to make it that they would have to confirm the things that I say puts a really difficult burden on them. But if I'm sharing things that fundamentally aren't true and could have wide-ranging consequences for how our country operates, it's something that even if there's not a legal requirement for Facebook to do something about it, this is probably an ethical one.
Let's go back to our callers now. Jeremy is with us in Racine. Jeremy, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My concerning issue in regards to a lot of false narratives and half-truths, it's been going on for decades. I'm sure everybody can remember watching a 10-minute commercial during election season tossing out some false narratives and or truths against one another's opponent. What's more concerning to me these days is that nobody's taking the time out anymore to actually do a little research on seeing whether or not what that, you know, person is saying is true or get the full story. I have kids that are age 21 down to 17, and it seems to me that anything they read on social media is almost to the point of like the gospel truth, and it's a little discerning, and you never really get them to start opening up until they bring it up into a conversation. And then as a parent, I have to let them know, hey, you need to do a little bit more research.
Jeremy, thanks. I'm going to jump in because we're a little short on time, but what do you think, Mike?
Well, I think it's great that he's, you know, reminding his children, look, you know, when you hear a claim, it's really important to try to figure out or suss out whether that claim is true. It's difficult, right? Most people don't wake up thinking, well, how am I going to hold my government accountable today? That's just, we have to do the laundry and go to work and deal with the kids and their homework projects, and we have to, you know, get groceries and all that stuff. And yet, we also have to make choices about who we want to represent us in our Republican democracy. And to do that, we ought to know something about what's happening in the world. And to know something about what's happening in the world, we ought to be able to judge what is true and what isn't, which requires us, I think, to take that extra step. If the information we're seeing is really emotional or really provocative, we should make sure someone else is saying it, a place that we've heard of, a source that we trust, before we share that and say that that's what's true.
As we wrap up, Mike, this is pretty important, right? Because I keep seeing studies about how more and more people are turning to their social media feeds as a main source of their news.
It's really important. And another study done by some of the students in our graduate program at Wisconsin, Emily Vraga led the project, found is that it's really hard for people to remember where they learned stuff. And so we have to be good judges of what might be accurate, because once we think we know it, we'll forget if we learned it from, you know, World News Daily or The New York Times or The Wall Street Journal.
Mike, as we wrap up, is the flow of false information going to slow down anytime soon?
Nope.
Good place to leave it. Yeah. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We've been talking to Mike Wagner. He's an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. He's an affiliate of the Elections Research Center, and he blogs at prowag.me. He joined us today to talk about a new MIT study looking at the spread of fake news and false information, especially on social media. This study focused on Twitter. Well, you can let us know what you think via Twitter. You could tweet us at Central Time WPR. And of course, you can email ideas@WPR.org. If you have a story to share, as some of our callers did, of fact checking something you saw on social media or encouraging others to fact check themselves, please share that with us. Tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas@WPR.org.